The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. It's David Hayes. I am in studio today just recording the first segment so we can replay a segment of Ed Slott, the IRA guru in the country. Of course, I'm part of his Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor community, and we are having our meeting in Indianapolis on this wonderful Thursday. So I am up there, and I am actually doing a breakout session for about half of the members, so probably 250 people or so. So I thought, what better than to just simply play a replay of when Ed was on last fall? So you'll hear a couple things that may not sound real timely as you listen to the show, but the content and the message is the same. And I think the sense of urgency that we try to create in people is never more powerful than it is today, being 2024 and a year and a half and some change before the clock strikes 12 at midnight and the tax codes revert back to where they were. And we may never see them again. But I'm hoping this conference will give me some insight to what's happening in Washington, which it normally does, and what we can expect to see come out in the next year or two as it relates to taxes. So it's going to be a good time up there. And I'm looking forward to my talk. My talk is to other financial advisors, and the talk is basically this. What you need to know to win. Period. That's it. But I have a little subline that says, in business, in community, and in life. And there's 10 steps to winning. And I've created this on my own, and I'm going to practice it again tonight after I record this and hopefully go up there and make an impression on the group and hopefully let them know. And I'm going to be speaking mostly to young people, I hope. I mean, the older guys in the group, you know, they're winning. You wouldn't be in that group unless you're a winner. But the younger guys coming in, they want to win. And as I was talking to the group at my office on this topic, they said, that's because you won. And I go, I've not won. I'm still trying to win. And if you look at life, careers, or whatever, I said, I'm not done. I said, I still have much left in my tank. I might be in the third quarter, maybe mid through the third quarter. But hopefully I still have a good part of the second half to go and make a little bit of a difference for some people, and really for me too. I invited my dad. He's going to come up. We've got folks from the office coming up. I have a couple of young people who I've mentored over the years. They're going to come up, maybe even hand a microphone over to them. But it's only an hour-long kind of presentation or message, so I was trying to think about how does a minister cram in such meaningful information in such a short amount of time. I've done weddings. You know, the ceremonies are typically 20 minutes or less when it comes to what I have to say. This is an hour, so it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I might be running a little long, and if I do, I do. So we'll just see how that goes. But I'll report back, and it will be videotaped. I'm not sure who I can share it with, but it will be videotaped, so I'm excited about that. All right, let's do a little more pertinent stuff, what happened last week primarily. And then we'll talk a little bit about what's happening this week. Of course, brought to you by Kenny Bland Auctions. Oh, they sold my golf cart, just news alert, $4,450. So if you are the proud owner of the black golf cart sold through Kenny Bland Auctions, let Dirk know that I know that you bought it, and we will figure out some fun thing to do. A picture for Facebook, or, you know, we'll figure out something. And also, Like Law Group, give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance with Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Well, last week, stocks did notch a solid gain, rallied behind some upbeat earnings reports, and the Fed kind of pulling back a little bit, and also mixed economic data. We need that Goldilocks thing, not too hot, not too cold. Markets began the week with an upward bump as positive news from those mega tech companies outweighed disappointing updates from other tech names. The tone did quickly change on Tuesday. Higher than expected first quarter wage growth triggered inflation and interest rate anxiety just as the Fed Open Market Committee kicked off its third meeting of the year. Each of the three major averages dropped more than a point and a half on the last day of trading of April. When the Fed did announce it was holding rates steady on Wednesday, stocks initially rallied on the news, but then sellers got the upper hand late in the trading session. Then prices did end the day slightly down. But then Thursday, the day of the show, stocks trended higher as more companies reported upbeat first quarter results. Then on Friday, stocks pushed even higher after the April jobs report indicated that unemployment ticked up and the economy had slowed. 175,000 jobs created in April, the lowest we've seen in a while, lower than economists expected, 240. And also the news kind of bolstered the chance the Fed may adjust rates sooner than later, but don't hold your breath. Markets hate uncertainty, right? So Fed Chairman Powell, he's attempting, I think he's doing a great job, clarifying the Fed's stance on the outlook for interest rates and the close of its two-day meeting. Determining what's next for rates is the context of stubborn inflation, and it's no simple task, he said. He said, though, it's unlikely that at the next policy meeting, the rate move will be up. He said it is unlikely. All right, we're going to take a break. The great Ed Slott is next. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, Fitch downgraded America from its top rating to one notch below. I think the message that was being sent is a much needed one. Basically, they said our finances are in shambles. We need to cut our spending, with the majority of our spending being non-discretionary, stuff we really have already committed to, and no appetite to go back on those commitments. It's the non-discretionary, which is about 30% of our budget, the last time I checked, that we could cut. Sure, we could cut something. Do we have an appetite for that? Not really. So what's going to solve our issue? We need to raise more revenue. We need to cut some spending. But to me, the shot over the bow that Fitch delivered last week, and that's why I had the sense of urgency behind my message, David McKnight's message, and also the great Ed Slott's education, his message, that really puts me on the journey of awareness, knowledge, and action to tell it, repeat it, push it, believe it, and live it. Joining me now is Ed Slott, the founder of Ed Slott & Company, IRAHelp.com, the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor. I'm going to call it the community, a major PBS contributor, best-selling author, and known by business journalism as the country's IRA expert. My great friend Ed Slott joins us now. Hey, Ed, how are you doing?
Oh, good. Great setup. I know what's coming, what I've been talking about for 20 years. I mean, you know, it comes down to that four-letter word nobody wants to say, math, M-A-T-H.
It's a pretty easy mathematical calculation. But, Ed, so what do you think about that? Fitch comes out last week. Obviously, it doesn't really mean anything. S&P did it back in, I think, 11. They downgrade our debt. And, you know, we all talked about it for a few minutes. But the bottom line is that they're saying, listen, we are in shambles here. We're borrowing tons of money. In fact, I know I saw a piece from Mick Higley, who kind of retired but then sort of came back for just a second, that between the debt ceiling legislation being signed and 33 days later, we added another $1 trillion of debt. And no one even knows what that means, what $1 trillion. Bottom line is, folks, that the Fed came out last week, or the government came out last week and said, hey, we're going to have to borrow more than we thought next quarter to pay our bills. This thing's a runaway train. You've been on David McKnight's documentary. I mean, before you came on, I said, I am an Ed Slott disciple. So Ed, when you think about like where we are as a country and where things are likely to go from a tax perspective, because we have to raise revenues. There's no question about that. It's going to come sooner than later. We focus on the things that we can control, which is our retirement accounts. Very little else can we control. I can't control how much we're spending on roads and highways and bridges. I can't control how much we're spending on defense. I can't control how much we're spending in Ukraine. I can't control how much we're spending on Department of Education defense or whatever it might be. So I have to kind of narrow in on things that I can control. My dad told me I was kind of worrying about a couple things this spring. And he said, you know what? 90% of the things you worry about, number one, never happen. He said 5% of the things you have no control over. He said you can only control about 5% of the things in your life. So focus on the 5% of the things you can control and deal with that. So I've been on this mission like, listen, guys, this thing's a mess. It's going to happen at some point. I don't know when, and we need to deal with this thing. So what do you think, Ed, overall about this shot over the bow that Fitch had with the U.S. government debt last week?
Well, one thing you can control, and everybody should control, is your tax rate. You can control that now before it's forced on you at some point at a higher rate, at the worst possible time, when you dig in what you save for 30 or 40 years while you are working, building, saving, and investing your retirement savings. And that's where most people have most of their money they're counting on now for retirement. And these will be all of this money in retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, tax-deferred money. This is money that has not yet been taxed. So this, to me, is the low-hanging fruit for the government. I mean, there's nothing better to pick at, nothing easier to get to than money that has not been taxed, where we already made that deal with the devil years and years ago, saying we'll take tax deductions up front, and we'll pay it back later. Well, now's later, and it's not looking good.
Well, the good news is there's been a lot of great opportunities given to us to get out of the, as Dave McKnight says, the crosshairs of higher taxes coming, from in-plan Roth conversions to IRA Roth conversions to just Roth in period. But what a lot of folks don't get, they get that addiction, right, to getting that. I mean, think about it. For years, I mean, we all said this. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. Hey, you put a dollar in, it only costs you 70 cents. Because
yeah, right.
And then you just like enjoy that, and every paycheck.
You sound like the guy who made that deal with the devil.
I know exactly.
The devil himself, David Hayes. Come on, I got a deal for you.
Hey, I've been in reform for about 20 years, I think, now. But for the first 10 years of my career, my life, you know, like you've said, you're a recovering accountant. I mean,
right.
I went to I kind of got into this deal with a guy named Charles J. Gibbons back in 1990, when I was like, this guy is brilliant. He's teaching me about cash flow and investments and budgeting and all this stuff, and I was hooked. And then I said, heck, I'm going to retire from football, come back, go to Indiana University, where I'm from, and learn about money. And that's what we were indoctrinated to talk about, was defer, because I went into the accounting program as well, and that's just the way we were wired. Pay the tax.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
We all were that way.
From the first course, 101 accounting in college, they hardwired it, drummed it into your head, defer, never pay a tax before you have to. But as you said, many years ago, over 30 years ago, actually, when the Roth came out, almost 30 years ago, I realized, got to be a recovering accountant. The deduction bit doesn't cut it anymore, especially when you're looking at possible much higher taxes compared to where we are now, the lowest tax rate you may have ever seen in your lifetime. And 2023 is an especially low year. Not that the rates have gone lower, but the bracket expansion has made the effective rates lower, because we had the largest increase in inflation from 22 to 23. You know, everybody complains about inflation, but when it comes to taxes, inflation's great. It expands the brackets. We've had the largest bracket expansion, which means the rates are the same, but more money can pass through larger, more expanded brackets. So you can stay at the 22 or 24% rate on higher income. So now is the time to strike. The key is to get that money out. You may have seen recently, Dave, I don't know if you noticed, I had an article in Investment News that got hit on by, I saw a lot of the comments, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about, because it was a provocative title. I said, stop contributing to IRAs. you know, and 401ks, the deduction is not worth it anymore because it's not a true deduction. When you contribute to your 401k at work, you get, in effect, not a real deduction, but you get to exclude part of your pay from income for the amount you put in to the 401k. But that's not a real deduction. A deduction like that is really just a loan you're taking from the government that has to be paid back at probably the worst possible time. So deductions were good years ago when I was in school and rates were 70-80%, because you want to take deductions when rates are high. You want to take income when rates are low. Now we have low rates. Deductions are worthless. Nobody should be contributing to really a 401k or an IRA for the lousy deduction that's not really a long-term plan because you have to pay it back and then some.
It is a loan, folks. When you put that money away, a deduction to me, like Ed said, is a kind of a permanent thing. You know, I get to take it off my income. I get a deduction. I pay less tax, and then it's over. But these 401ks and IRAs, again, contribute to your 401k, but if you have a Roth, and I hope you do, most
right.
people do, put it in the Roth. If you have an IRA, which I hope you do, put it into the Roth or convert to a Roth, and then you're done. I think one of your PBS specials was basically take taxable money and make it tax-free forever. You know, move taxable money.
Move your money from accounts that are forever taxed to accounts that are never taxed. That's my mantra. It's been like that for years and years. Forever taxed to never taxed. You've got to be looking to get money into tax-free territory to eliminate the uncertainty of what future higher taxes could do to your standard of living in retirement. But most people can't bring themselves to look at the long-term big picture. They want the sugar high, the short-term hit, the deduction up front, and they don't want to pay out money up front. Nobody wants to pay out up front. But if you can pay taxes while rates are rock bottom on sale, that's the time to do it. The fundamental principle of saving so much money in taxes is to always pay taxes at the lowest rates, which is right now.
We're going to take a quick break. In February, Ed, you were on the show. We were talking about all the changes around retirement accounts, rules, the dates when they come into effect. Some of the items still needed some clarity. I know in this month's newsletter that you put out, this read around the country. In fact, it's picked up by all the major news outlets. In fact, it's in its 25th year, I might add. Started to give some clarity to some of those things. Let's take a quick break, come back, and talk about what these changes are and some of the maybe clarity is starting to come around some of the rules that were put into effect. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. The one and only Ed Slott is on the phone with me now, of course, from IRAhelp.com, Ed Slott and Company, all over the place. If you want to know about IRAs and tax on those IRAs, just look up the name Ed Slott and he'll be all over the place. You mentioned the investment news article you're recently in. I don't think I pick up a publication ever when they're asking and talking about these topics that your name or one of the advisors in our group isn't mentioned,
right?
Because we've been on this mission, I think, as you said, the Green Berets is what you used to call us of the IRA
the Green
community.
Berets of IRAs. You were the first one in our first group. You know, in 2024, when we meet again, in Indianapolis, by the way, did you know that?
Well, I know that. In fact, I'm going to talk with, I'm going to see Craig Hughes at my wife's class reunion Friday night of this week, and I'm going to talk to him about, because he's part of the Hughes Food Group, they own St. Elmo's, so I'm going to talk with him about making sure that we have a killer event, or at least some kind of a day, at least our advisor group meeting at St. Elmo's. We'll get that worked out.
Yeah, so that will be 20 years, Dave. That will be our 20th year in the Elite Advisor Group. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's a study group that Dave and a few of other elite, I call elite advisors, put together because years ago I was doing these programs as a tax advisor. I don't do anything on investments. When we talk about elite advisors, I'm talking about the tax planning. That's where you can make tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, save millions in taxes in real, tangible money. if you do the planning, which most advisors don't do. So what Dave and a few other sharp advisors around the country did, we got together and said, you know, this is something we want to do more for our clients. Yeah, we do investing. Everybody does that, and it's great to make people money. But when it comes to taxes, money that's in IRAs and 401ks, it's what you keep that counts. And if you lose a boatload to taxes, what does it matter how much you made, people? If they lose it to taxes, all you did is build a savings account for Uncle Sam. And that's no solution long term. So Dave and a few of our other advisors started what we call EdSlot's Elite IRA Advisor Group 20 years ago, or almost 20 years ago, mm-hmm. as a study group on the tax planning, not the investments. You already have your money. Now you want to keep it and protect it and be able to use and spend more of it in retirement without worrying about the intrusion of what could be horrendous taxes if you believe, like I do, in math.
Well, and most tax preparators, people that prepare taxes, they're like driving while they're looking out the rearview mirror versus driving looking out the front of the car.
The way I call it, and this is a lot of my colleagues, I'm a CPA, a tax advisor, but most CPAs, tax preparers, are really just history teachers. They just tell you what already happened, like you say, in the rearview mirror. That's not good enough. That's what already happened. You should be looking forward what's going to happen. If you're in a car, as you just said, that's even a better analogy. You ought to be looking forward or backward.
Well, when we were kids, we used to always compete in the demolition derby at the local fair. And that's what you did. You drove backwards, leaning up the back of the car.
All right, so,
and all you did was tear up your car and end up, you know, maybe hurt or whatever. I was never a driver. I was always like kind of the promoter, I guess. But, yeah, it never works out well by driving, looking out the back of the car.
So the point is you want to see what's coming head on.
Right.
The headlights.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Ed, back in February, we were talking about all the changes and mainly around the Secure Act and Secure Act 2.0
right.
with the retirement accounts, the rules, the dates when they come into effect. Pretty confusing for most.
Very confusing. Because of all the budget gimmickry by Congress, they had to spread it out over 10 years. So it's very confusing because I keep a list. I have it in my hand right now. You have it. We gave it out at our meetings. Of the effective dates, because we never saw anything like this. It's a trend that's been happening over the last 10 years, but it used to be, and I don't want to sound like an old fogey, but I am anyway. It used to be when a tax law was enacted, everything in that law was effective on the date of enactment. That's not even a thing anymore. Now when they have a law, it's like a treasure hunt. Oh, when is this effective? When is that effective? Oh, that's not for 10 years. It's all over the place because they have to, you know, jimmy around or MacGyver the, whatever you want to call
budget,
it,
yeah.
All the provisions on the 10-year budget cycle to see how it's going to work. So we have provisions all over the place. A lot of provisions are already effective, some effective in 2024, some in 25, 26, 27. In fact, I saw articles come out when they raised the RMD age. That was one big provision in Secure 2.0, just to take you back. RMDs, required minimum distributions, when you have to start taking your money out, the other half of that deal with the devil from your IRAs, it was, for years, it was 70.5, and then the original Secure Act changed it from 70.5 to 72, and Secure 2.0 changed it from 72 to 73, and I saw articles coming out saying, oh, they changed it to age 75. Yes, that's in Secure 2.0, but that doesn't happen for 10 years mm-hmm. in 2033. So you have to watch these effective dates. And I picked on that provision particularly because everybody likes being able to put off something they didn't want to do, take RMDs. But I'm not sure that's a good planning move. Let's take it to the extreme. What if you didn't? What if it was age 80? All you're doing is shortening the window where all this money has to come out
right.
and costing yourselves more taxes later on.
I actually did a podcast on that, why age 75, and when you line up age 1960 births and you look at the peak of the baby boom generation, that's where they are around 60, and what age they'll be, you know, at or how many there'll be at age 75, and then they're going to die sooner. They number one, have to take out more money out. They're going to die sooner. Their kids are going to get it sooner. The kids are going to have to take it all out, and it's a big money grab. It's a money grab. We have a money grab now going on. We have a money grab later going on. I'm convinced I'm completely right on this, but because the way budgets are created, like you said, it's MacGyver. They're in there kind of.
Yeah, I couldn't think of another word.
Oh, that's fantastic. I grew up on the A-Team, MacGyver, I mean, all that kind of good stuff. So has there been any clarifications, like on the 529 college savings plan, where you have some residual money and you can roll it over to a Roth IRA? I know everyone was kind of like, who, you know, has to be in effect for so long? Is it the beneficiary? Is it the owner? You know, all that. I mean, because we have a lot of people that say, I'm going to have one big 529. I have three kids, and I'm just going to roll it down as each one kind of rolls into college. I was assuming by the time we had our fall meeting, there'd be some clarification on that.
Waiting. And in fact, I'm writing the manuals as we speak, and we have a section that just before we started this program, I was looking at the unknown still unknown. We're not clear on many of the rules. Remember, this Secure 2.0, and this has been the case the last few tax laws, and especially, this is the most egregious one I've ever seen, Secure 2.0. It was enacted on December 29th, effective 2 days later. I don't know if you even know the story on this. I may have mentioned it at the meeting. By the time they got it to the president's desk, everybody was out of town, including the president. They had to ship the bill. This is on December 29th, 22, effective, like I said, a couple of days later. They had to ship it to him. Not ship it to him. They had to have some aide, I don't know who it was, but it's a real story. It's true. Bring the 4,000-page bill on a plane, a commercial flight, down to St. Croix, I believe, where President Biden was, to get him to sign the bill. So there were jokes around there, like the old James Bond movies. Did he have it in a case, you know, handcuffed to his wrist or something? Or did he check it in luggage? Or was it in the, overhead bin? Where was this bill? So it was, you know, pushed through so quickly and so sloppily that many provisions don't have good explanations. In fact, one provision they messed up so badly on catch-up contributions. Mm-hmm. That's for people 50 or over who can put more money in. Now, those are supposed to be expanded in 2024, but guess what? Due to a last-minute sloppy drafting error, Congress eliminated the provision that allows any catch-up contributions, and they have to fix that. They're supposed to fix that by year-end. In Congress, it has to be done by law. So they have their work to do because it's a drafting error because they were sloppy. They pushed it through December 29th. Can you imagine that? they're just shoving everything through at the last minute.
I can't imagine that anyone actually read all 4,000 pages of that. But like employer contributions to the company plans can go into Roth. Side, not just the traditional side.
That's good. That's effective now.
Yeah, but there's no plans that even are up to speed on that. Maybe next year. I don't know. But it's one of those things like, yeah, you can do it, but there's no plans that actually have adopted it yet that I know of.
No, because the big plan companies, the Fidelities, Vanguard, Schwab, all the big custodians, they're like giant battleships. They're not nimble. It takes them a while to turn around and make a change. You know, smaller companies are on a bicycle. They can turn around and do it quickly.
Right.
But the bigger companies, it's a big lift to upgrade and amend all their plans, and some of them are holding off because some provisions, like the catch-up provisions and some other provisions, are not even clear what the treatment is yet.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there's a really great podcast that Ed's part of, and they did kind of a series of sorts with Jeff Levine called The Great Retirement Debate. I'm going to talk to Ed about how that's been going, give you a couple of the headlines that they've talked about, maybe have him comment about a few. And then, is the IRS spying on your IRA? You bet they are. I gave you a podcast on that a few weeks ago. We're going to ask Ed his comments on that. I'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. The great Ed Slott, the country's IRA experts on the phone with me. Of course, I've been a disciple of Ed's for nearly 20 years as a charter member of Ed Slott's Elite IRA Advisor Group. Ed, you started this great retirement debate podcast with our friend Jeffrey Levine. It's fantastic. It's funny. I mean, things like convert or not convert, gifting versus inheriting, Roth IRA or Roth 401k, which, by the way, was fantastic. That was a great episode. And should I use my Roth or my 529 to pay for college? Should I buy long-term care insurance? Can I self-fund? It's funny because I'm listening to your podcast and I'm kind of relating it to my own. And you think you almost mentally kind of run out of topics at some point. Like, what else can we argue about? Even if you believe...
No, we take... you can take different points. You know, basically, we take all the questions. What I like about what we're doing, there's no side, there's no political bias or anything like that. We're taking questions because consumers need to know both parts, you know, the pros, the cons, the pluses, minuses, benefits, drawbacks, whatever you want to call it, of each important question they have. And sometimes they're getting only one side because that side has an ulterior motive or a horse in a race, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So we actually do flip a coin, and sometimes it's rough because we know there's two sides to every coin. For example, you mentioned Roth. Jeff and I are both big Roth fans, so it was tough. Whoever got, I don't even remember who ended up with the don't do a Roth. So we had to really stretch to find negatives about that because a lot of things we agree on. We come from the same schools.
Right.
But it gives consumers an unbiased look. If they're making a big decision and we try and hit, like you said, the big questions that are really a lot of times permanent decisions some people have to make, and they want to know they're getting it from an independent source. Here are the pluses, here are the minuses. So we take each side of the debate to see... So consumers are the best winners. The listeners are the winners because they get both sides so they can make the decision that's best for themselves without anybody with a bias.
Go and check it out. You can just go online or whatever to wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including my own 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win, and just look up The Great Retirement Debate. I don't know. It looks like you start around November 22. We had our final episode recap back in March of 23, but just look at the titles. You know, should I own crypto in my retirement accounts?
Oh, yeah.
72 T payments, yes or no. What that is, folks, is that's when you need to take money out prior to age 59 and a half from an IRA. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I mean, just some really, I mean, you have part ones and part twos. It's really good. Ed, I want to get your comment on this. So I did a podcast on, is the IRS spying on your IRA? And I said, you bet they are, talking about the 5498s. And I talked to people about, hey, you get this tax document in like May, and you're like, what is this thing? And you're like, well, I don't guess, what do I do with this thing? We don't have to do anything with it. If you look at the top, it says, this information is being provided to the IRS. What they're saying is, we're letting the IRS know exactly how much you have in your IRAs, your Roth IRAs. Employers have to report how much is in their plans with participant balances. A little conspiracy thinking, maybe, but the reality is, and I think some of these rules are part of that Secure Act too, especially when you're required to take money out of your plan at a certain age. They want to know how much is in your plans. When we're over $32 trillion in debt and you have $30+ trillion in tax deferred retirement accounts still, like Ed said earlier, it's the low hanging fruit. So Ed, I don't want to put the conspiracy theory hat on, but our balances have been reported to the IRS for years, and people just kind of skate through it like, I don't know.
Why? Accountants, our profession, probably to blame with that, because we get the calls from clients, as you say, comes out after tax time. So the clients, for years, this has been going on, they call, oh, no, I just got another form from the government. What is it? 50, forget it. Don't worry about it. It's an information report. It's actually called that, IRA contribution information.
Information report, yeah.
But it has a lot of information, even more than you thought, for years. And you must have got these calls from clients
when
you told them about RMDs. You have to take RMDs. And you ever get a client that says, well, how are they going to know anyway, right? So my answer is, as you've heard me say in every seminar, because advisors ask me that, how are they going to know? And I give the same answer. I don't know. Ask the guy in the cell next to you.
Right, right. And we always say, what's the difference between tax avoidance and tax evasion? The answer is about 20 years, right? So
yeah,
it's
the same
thing. Once again, an Ed Slott thing that I borrowed or stole for years, like don't cook bacon when you're naked and stuff like that.
You know? Right, right.
A lot of good ones.
And so they give you not only the balances, but there's boxes on who's subject to RMD. If you happen to have what we call alternative investments, not the usual stocks, bonds, or funds, but maybe real estate and more exotic type IRA investments, which you're allowed to have, you have to report that you don't have the normal easily valued investments, and they want to know the fair market value of that. So maybe it will be challenged. So there's a box on that, the fair market value of certain specified assets, they call it. That's what they want to know. They want to know if you made Roth contributions. I mean, it's all on there. And this is just, as you said, to let you know, you get a copy, which you just file. You figure, no big deal. But it's all out there. It's all on record. And you really do have to follow the rules and be careful, because they've got the goods on everything, your IRA or 401k related, too.
I get a lot of calls, oh, is the government going to take my 401k? Are they gonna, I'm like, unplug your computer. Let's get off those websites, quit answering, you know, whatever it might be. But the bottom line is, yeah, they know everything. They have the goods on us. And that's why I think last time we talked about, you know, people are always focused on required minimum distributions. And our last meeting we said, and we talked about this on the show, let's think about more of the required maximum distributions.
Like right. I've said that all along. I said the M in RMD is minimum, but why not maximum? How much can you get out now while rates are low? Don't look for the minimum. All you're doing is putting off the misery either the rest of your life or to your beneficiaries that now have a shorter window, only 10 years to get this out. And your beneficiary may be in their highest earnings years themselves in high brackets to push all of this into 10 years. That's how you end up losing a fortune in taxes, by stuffing all of that money into a 10-year window.
It's fun when you illustrate this for people to say, listen, at the end of your plan, when they're like, what's that mean? I'm like, well, that's when you die. So we have a nice, elegant way of saying, okay, when you're dead, this is how much money we expect for you to have. And if we do some Roth conversions, maxing out 22, 24, whatever it might be, and kind of map that out, and we pay this much now, then in the future you're going to have, yeah, a little bit less money potentially, but it's going to be mostly tax-free. So I give the analogy, and maybe we can use this in the next program. I'm 53 years old, and I decide I'm going to do let's call it a $200,000 Roth conversion. And I pay, let's say $80,000 in tax between federal and state. So I have $200,000. 10 years later, I die of a massive heart attack at the age of 63. Because my family doesn't have longevity. But if you double money every 10 years, there's now, you know, 400 grand there. My wife, who has extreme longevity in her family, her grandma lived 102, now has the IRA herself, her Roth IRA. And then it goes from, so it went from 200 to 400. Then the next, she goes from 63 to 73 to 83 to 93. So you think about this, it goes from, you know, 400 to 800 to 1.6, 3.2, boom, she dies. And then my son takes it over, and because a Roth is not required to take any distributions, he can hold it for 10 more years. He grows like over $6 million completely
right.
Tax-free, and it only costs 80 grand. So I said, if you want to assure that your children visit your graveside, do a Roth conversion early, because they will come and visit your graveside and say, Daddy, thank you for doing that Roth conversion 40 years ago. So do it for yourself, do it for your spouse, do it for your family. Ed Slott's been my guest, the one and only. Ed, any last comments before I let you go?
Forever tax to never tax. Get your plan, not the government plan, and remember, you can control your tax rates by doing the things we're talking about now. Once RMDs start, you're constrained. Then you're on the government plan. You want your plan. You want to be able to control your taxes, which you can absolutely do now and at low rates.
Ed Slott, everyone, IRAhelp.com. Check it out. Ed, thank you so much. I'll be talking to you at our fall meeting.
Yep, but we'll see you soon.
All right.
Thanks,
we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. You're My Name with David Hayes. If you didn't enjoy that show, then you shouldn't listen anymore. That was a lot of fun with Ed Slott. Tonight at Ivy Tech on a Thursday night, I will be there doing taxes in retirement. If I was fired up recording with Ed, I'm going to be overly anxious and excited tonight. We're going to be talking about the three big risks in retirement: not managing your taxes properly, which is, by the way, the largest expense in retirement; sequence of return risk, retiring in a bad market, and how you can mitigate some of that risk; and then the great risk multiplier, which is considered longevity risk, which ties everything together. Right now, we have over 80 people signed up to come. Because they don't pay to come to this event, no one even knows I'm the one teaching it unless you listen to this program and you signed up. I think they do it through Facebook. I don't even know. But Jim Inman Jr., he told me that over 80 people were signed up. So I'm going to assume 40 will show, which is fine. Because my goal is to tell this story, you know, 1,000 times to 100,000 people. I don't want to tell it over and over and over and over and over. In fact, when people come in and sit down with me and they're like, what do you think about this? I'll give them like a 30-second thing and say, listen to this podcast. Because I don't want to repeat myself over and over and over. So the message is confident, it's consistent, and it's real. So if you want to come to Taxes and Retirement tonight and you're listening to the show at 6 o'clock tonight, you're too late because it starts at 6 o'clock tonight. But we'll have another one in October, so rest easy. And just keep listening to the show. Keep listening to the show, the podcast, what it might be. Listen to Ed's great retirement debate. And then hook up with someone who knows how to do these things without screwing other things up. We always talk about the unintended consequences, right, of doing what you think is right. That's super important. Let's take a quick break. I'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed the replay of the Ed Slott and Your Money with David Hayes from last fall. If you missed any of it, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., WGCLradio.com, and wherever you find your favorite podcast. I'll be back live in studio next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.